Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, August 14th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Giving Back Decatur Checkout Challenge. Kroger stores cashiers compete for fun, back WSOY food drive. Let the competitions begin. Kroger has added a couple of contests to make fundraising for the WSOY Community Food Drive a bit more interesting. The three Decatur Kroger stores will compete for the honor of displaying a traveling trophy throughout the next year. The store that raises the most funds will hold on to the award until the next competition. We won last year, said Jeff Tate, Kroger Airport manager. We will win again. Last year was the first store competition between the businesses. The airport Kroger raised $6,200. The stores combined raised $8,000. An internal competition has begun among the airport Kroger cashiers as well. An employee is awarded a $25 Kroger gift card each week for raising the most money. At the end of the month, the winner of the most funds raised overall will receive a $50 gift card. The competition began on August 1st. Although she missed the first 2 days, Tina Mitchell was the front runner before the end of the week. All I ask is, do they want to donate to the WSOY Community Food Drive? She said about her simple technique. And that smile, how can you say no to that smile? Tate said. Mitchell assists the self-checkout customers. I talk to all of my customers, and I thank them when they leave, she said. A lot of people like to help the community out by donating. Sierra McLennan is the front supervisor and can be found at a cash register ringing up customers. She uses the same technique as her coworker. I mostly ask every customer if they want to donate or round up, she said. Tate said the opportunities to donate are plentiful. There are so many ways you can donate just through your shopping experience, he said. Customers can purchase $5 or $10 of pre-bagged sales. However, donations in any amount will be welcome. They can do that multiple times, Tate said. Customers can also round up their total to the next dollar amount. For self-checkout lines, the roundup button is located at the top of the screen before the payment is requested. According to Dalton City resident Karen Forbes, 75, rounding up is easy. It's not that much, she said, but by the time everybody puts in a quarter here or a quarter there, it adds up. And there's a couple of pictures here on page A8. Karen Forbes, it shows her at the self-checkout, rounds up her total for the WSOY Community Food Drive at the Airport Plaza Kroger in Decatur on August 5th. And she's got her cart there and her groceries in the bag and her fingers about to touch the screen to round up. And then a close-up picture of the pre-bagged selection of non-perishable food items is bought and donated to the WSOY Community Food Drive at the Airport Plaza Kroger in Decatur on August 5th. And it's a bin with bagged groceries in it that you can purchase for the food drive. And the large photo on the front page shows Tina Mitchell asking a customer to donate to the WSOY Community Food Drive in the self-checkout lane at the Airport Plaza Kroger in Decatur on August 5th. And she's standing there with a little sheet in her hand with the donation information on it. And there's a customer there looking. We see him from the back, and she's got a smile on her face. And then a smaller photo shows manager Jeff Tate organizing the pre-bagged non-perishable food items for sale that will be donated to the WSOY Community Food Drive at the Airport Plaza Kroger in Decatur on August 5th. And we see many bags that he's prepared, and the aisles of the store behind him. New state laws, drug pricing, light pollution, rideshare union bills approved. This is from Springfield, Capital News, Illinois. Rideshare drivers can unionize in Illinois. A new law seeks to regulate and classify plastic pellets as a pollutant, and the state will exercise greater oversight of a federal prescription drug discount program. Those are a few of the 75 new laws signed by Governor J.B. Pritzker on August 7th as he works through the legislation sent to him by the General Assembly in the legislative session that concluded in May. He signed over 350 of the nearly 400 bills that lawmakers sent his way, leaving him with about 20 more to consider in short order. 340B drug pricing program. Two related bills will bring more state oversight of a federal prescription drug program known as the 340B drug pricing program. Congress established that program in 1992 to give steep discounts on prescription drugs to community health centers, safety net hospitals, and other providers that serve large numbers of uninsured or Medicaid patients. But as Medicaid eligibility expanded since then, so did the 340B program, which is now the second largest federal drug program behind Medicare Part D. That has led to healthcare providers and drug manufacturers accusing each other of abusing the program. House Bill 2371, known as the Patient Access to Pharmacy Protection Act, prohibits drug manufacturers from imposing restrictions on the acquisition of discounted drugs by a 340B provider or its contract pharmacy. Meanwhile, House Bill 4327, backed by the pharmaceutical industry, calls on the Illinois Department of Insurance to conduct a study of the impact of the 340B program has had on health care in Illinois, including its impact on the state's Medicaid program and state employee group insurance program. The study will also examine how much money hospitals and clinics make by marking up the price of drugs they obtain at a discount. These bipartisan laws strengthen transparency and accountability while protecting a program that helps our most vulnerable communities, Representative Camille Lilly, Democrat of Chicago, a lead sponsor of the bill, said in a statement. Rideshare unionization. Illinois is now the third state to allow rideshare drivers to bargain collectively. House Bill 5090, which took effect upon Pritzker's signature, regulates how rideshare drivers can form a union, elect union representatives, and engage in union activities. Drivers interested in forming a union will first have to obtain signatures from at least 10% of active drivers to establish interest, and then 30% to become a certified union. Rideshare companies like Uber and Lyft will be charged 4 cents per ride to cover implementation costs and a grant program to support workers. The law impacts more than 100,000 rideshare drivers. Advocates, including Service Employees International Union Local 1 and the IAM Machinists Union, have pushed for the right to unionize rideshare drivers since at least 2019. This law doesn't just give drivers a seat at the table, it shifts power to the workers who make this industry possible. Jeannie Kastrup, an app driver union leader, said in a news release, "It sends a clear message that no corporation is too big, no business model is beyond accountability, and no industry is beyond the reach of a union when working people stand together." Illinois joins California and Massachusetts in allowing rideshare drivers to unionize. Massachusetts rideshare drivers secured first statewide union certification in May. immigration detention centers. House Bill 5024 aims to prevent the federal government from operating new immigration detention centers within 1,500 feet of any home, school, daycare center, park, forest preserve, cemetery, or place of worship. The law is a response to the chaos that ensued in 2025 outside of an immigration and customs enforcement processing center in suburban Broadview. The facility, located near homes and a church, became a focal point for clashes between masked federal agents and protesters during the height of Operation Midway Blitz. The new restrictions would apply only to future facilities, not the existing Broadview facility or others already owned or leased by the federal government. And even then, it's likely to face legal hurdles, as the federal government is generally exempt from state and local zoning restrictions. The law takes effect immediately. Plastic pellet pollution. House Bill 4418 instructs the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency to implement a stormwater pollution prevention plan that would make Illinois the first Great Lakes state to classify plastic pellets as pollutants. Plastic pellets are the byproduct of plastic production that frequently end up in Illinois waterways through spills and become a major source of microplastics. The measure doesn't specifically spell out what the plan would entail, but gives the IEPA 1 year from its January 1, 2027 effective date to implement the requirements to be included in National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System permits. Clean water is one of Illinois' most valuable resources, and protecting it means addressing pollution before it reaches our rivers and lakes, said bill sponsor Representative Joyce Mason, Democrat of Gurnee. Republicans generally criticize the broad authority the measure gives the IEPA, as the bill passed the Senate 44-13 and the House 69-33. Driver's License Requirements Act. Under House Bill 4758, employers will no longer be able to require that a job applicant have a driver's license unless driving is one of the essential functions of the job. And if a job requires a driver's license, the employer or employment agency must include a brief description in the job post explaining why. Too many people are being shut out of good jobs because of requirements that have nothing to do with the work, and this measure will help change that, said Senator Christopher Belt, Democrat of Swansea, the bill sponsor. The law takes effect January 1, 2027. Higher Education Bill of Rights. Students at public universities and colleges are now protected by an academic bill of rights that assures them, among other things, that their schools will not infringe on their constitutional rights to freedom of speech, assembly, and the press. The new law also calls on schools to provide an environment where students are protected from unlawful discrimination, harassment, intimidation, or retaliation that they can request reasonable accommodations for disabilities so that they can participate equally in academic and campus activities. House Bill 4304, titled the Higher Education Student Support and Academic Freedom Act, was written in response to Trump administration actions that some have characterized as attacks on higher education. Earning your degree continues to be a ticket to a better future. But that future is at stake when curricula, the right to organize, and more are being eroded by an administration who sees knowledge as a threat, not something to strive for, Representative Aaron Ortiz, Democrat of Chicago, a lead sponsor of the bill, said in a statement. The law calls on public colleges and universities to publish clear, accurate, and timely information regarding courses, degree pathways, credit evaluation, and transferability and graduation criteria, and it calls on them to provide fair evaluation of students' academic performance based on demonstrated learning and achievement and pursuant to published standards with due regard for the professional judgment of faculty. The bill passed both chambers along largely partisan lines, 72-37 in the House, 37-19 in the Senate. Foreign language requirement. Students who enter high school in 2028 will not necessarily have to complete 2 years of a foreign language as a condition of graduating. That requirement was scheduled to go into effect under legislation passed in 2021, but a shortage of foreign language teachers in Illinois prompted lawmakers this year to amend that requirement by giving students another option. Under Senate Bill 3070, students will have the option of completing 2 years of foreign language or 2 years of an approved career and technical education course. Supporters of the bill said that they believe in the importance of learning a foreign language, but conceded that making it a requirement for graduation was not practical. What we're finding is that teacher shortage is still a big challenge in our state, and we do not have enough foreign language teachers, and we want to put more effort into workforce development while we're building that pool, Senate Majority Leader Kimberly Lightford, Democrat of Westchester, said during Senate floor debate on the bill. S. Bill 3070 passed the Senate 58-0 and the House 117-0, with 4 members voting present. Light pollution bill signed. Senate Bill 3037 amends the State Energy Efficiency and Control Act that allows municipalities to adopt stretch energy codes that are more stringent than the Illinois Energy Conservation Code. The bill states that by December 2029, the Illinois Capital Development Board will create a stretch energy code regulating outdoor lighting for public and private entities and the municipalities where it is adopted. The code would create several listed lighting requirements to reduce light pollution. House Bill 5474 aims to reduce light pollution by requiring any outdoor lighting purchased with state funds to adhere to certain brightness limitations. The Outdoor Lighting Control Act first became law in 2025, applying to any state-purchased lighting or lighting on property owned or managed by the Department of Natural Resources. Under the amendment, lighting purchased before 2032 can't be brighter than 2,700 Kelvin. It drops to 2,200 Kelvin on June 30th, 2032. And there are two photos that accompany this article. One shows lightweight plastic pellets can be seen between seedlings at Chicago's Wide Mile, a floating garden park at the north branch of the Chicago River. And you see little white pellets all over, scattered throughout this photo, and plastic pellets. And then supporters of a bill to allow rideshare drivers to unionize celebrate in the House gallery in May after the bill passed. The governor signed it into law on August 7th, and all of the people there, it must be rideshare drivers, are wearing the same T-shirt. I can't tell what the logo on the T-shirt says, but I imagine it has something to do with being a rideshare driver. In local news on page A3, public safety, cops, hidden camera in bathroom. Man faces child sexual abuse, stalking charges after home searched. A Decatur man has been charged with child sexual abuse, stalking, and unauthorized video recording following a police investigation of a hidden camera in a restaurant bathroom. According to a sworn affidavit by the Decatur Police Department, officers were sent to a Decatur restaurant on August 2nd after a hidden camera was found in the women's bathroom. An employee said she found a power bank charging device below the sink. The device was covered in duct tape. The employee also located a black box device taped behind the mirror in the same women's bathroom. Detectives with the Decatur Police Department's Tech Investigations Unit obtained a search warrant for the information stored on the hidden camera. The device was found to only be capable of local storage on a removable, secure digital card, an officer stated in a sworn affidavit. A detective was able to remove a card and obtain a forensic image of it. The video directory contained 84 videos. The first video showed a man's face as he was installing the camera. The man was later identified as William J. Wilson, 39, who was taken into custody and who has since been charged with felony offenses in Macon County Circuit Court. Other videos from the restaurant depicted a female employee as she changed her clothes before her shifts. A search warrant was obtained for Wilson's residence, where other small hidden device or hidden camera type devices were found, as well as a laptop computer. Detectives created a forensic image of the computer's non-volatile memory express drive, and analyzed the data. Numerous thumbnail images from various angles at the restaurant's bathroom were located. One angle appeared to be below the sink facing the toilet. Another appeared to be installed in the ceiling facing downwards toward the toilet, according to the affidavit information. In several of these images from the previous hidden camera installations, William can also be clearly seen as the subject installing them, the affidavit stated. Detectives located more than 600 images of suspected child sexual abuse material. The images depicted multiple child abuse videos featuring adults engaging in sexual activity with children. The computer also had a large amount of hidden camera or voyeurism pornography videos stored on it that appeared to have been downloaded from the internet, according to the information stated in the affidavit. Wilson was on patrol for stalking in Champaign County at the time of his arrest. A report showed he was caught looking at an 18-year-old woman's bedroom window before he was chased down by her father. Wilson admitted to looking through her window multiple times. Champaign County Sheriff's Office detectives searched his phone and found several recordings taken through the woman's bedroom window. Wilson was denied pretrial release and will remain in the Macon County Jail. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for September 2nd. A new ride to STL Chicago. Flixbus begins new service in Decatur. Flixbus made its first stop in Decatur on Wednesday, August 12th. The bus service offers daily travel to Chicago and St. Louis, leaving from the downtown Decatur Senator Severance Transit Center. For more details, go to flixbus.com. That's F-L-I-X-B-U-S, flixbus.com, or contact Scott Perry at 217-421-7976. And there are several photos that accompany this announcement. The top one is a Flixbus. It's bright green with white or light-colored letters spelling Flixbus. A Flixbus travels past the transfer house as it leaves Decatur's Senator Severance Transit Center for Chicago on Wednesday, August 12th. And we see the transfer house in the background with the red roof and the Flixbus at a green light turning right. And then a smaller photo shows Decatur Public Transit employees boarding the Flixbus vehicle to check it out as it stops at the Senator Severance Transit Center for the first time on Wednesday, August 12th. A few people are heading toward the doors to go in. And then Decatur Mayor Julie Moore Wolf and Councilman Pat McDaniel talked to a driver, Tajai Armstrong, as he arrives with the first FlixBus at the downtown Senator Severance Transit Center on Wednesday, August 12th. The service will now travel daily to both Chicago and St. Louis. And then another photo shows my transportation operations manager, Alexandra Hutton, talking to a passenger boarding the FlixBus to Chicago at the Senator Severance Transit Center in Decatur on Wednesday, August 12th. Chicago police sergeant probed over threat to teens. Police officer stripped of his law enforcement powers, CPD says. The Chicago Police Department and Civilian Office of Police Accountability have both opened investigations after a viral video surfaced earlier this week purporting to show an off-duty CPD sergeant profanely threatening a group of teenagers and their families on the southwest side of Chicago. Representatives for both COPA and the CPD said that the inquiries were opened after a video shared earlier this week on social media showed a muscular, middle-aged man aggressively confronting a small group of teens. CPD's Bureau of Internal Affairs and the Civilian Office of Police Accountability have each opened investigations into a profane, threatening confrontation on the southwest side involving an off-duty a CPD sergeant and a group of teens. The incident was captured on video posted on the social media by CWB Chicago. The sergeant, Jeremy Sikorsky, has been stripped of his police powers, according to CPD. The man is heard demanding to know if the teens were picking on two other younger kids. The teens denied picking on anyone and said that they were trying to evade the younger kids because they had made crude remarks to the teen girls. The man, identified as Sergeant Jeremy Sikorsky, then launched into a profane tirade. "I'll knock your expletive ass out," Sikorsky told one of the teen boys. "Get your expletive parents over here. I'll beat the expletive out of them, and I'll beat the expletive out of you. I'll knock your expletive dad out, and I'll knock your ass out after," Sikorsky continued, as a woman standing nearby pleaded with him to leave. Moments later, Sikorsky walked past a teen girl who was recording the incident, and her phone was knocked to the ground. The girl immediately started crying and said, "It, expletive, hurts." A CPD spokesperson said Sikorsky was stripped of his police powers and reassigned to the alternate response section after Internal Affairs opened an inquiry into the video. A COPA spokesperson confirmed the agency opened its own probe. And that's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, August 14th, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.